Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I am so glad you could join me. I'm very excited about our guest today. We have someone who has over 25 years of experience with coaching, training, and mentorship. She has a bachelor's degree in women's studies and performing arts from Arizona State University. Her areas of expertise are in healing, where she's a certified body and brain instructor, mantra meditation, and yogic practices, where she's certified in Kundalini yoga. She is absolutely amazing. Did I mention yet that she's a singer, songwriter, and published musician, and teaches piano, guitar, and songwriting? I am so happy to have this transformational mentor as a guest on our show. She's originally from the New York tri-state area. That's right, she is a genuine New Yorker. And she's currently living in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Ms. Joanna Barbera. Joanna.
Hello.
How are you?
Thrilled to be here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest. Yeah. I had the pleasure of meeting Joanna at a retreat. Actually, the very first time I met Joanna was in Costa Rica at the Imaloa Institute. And she was my first experience in yoga that Joanna led. She was the instructor for that session. And I have to say, ever since then, I've been going to yoga. I'd never been introduced to it before. And if somebody would have said, hey, you're going to be involved with yoga, you're going to start doing yoga in a practice, and I'd be right. But oh my gosh, thank you. thank you so much. It
you're
was fantastic.
So welcome. That's so cool to know. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure. Oh, it was eye-opening and a life-changing experience for me, for sure. So Joanna, we're going to jump right in if you're okay with that.
I'm ready.
Because I'd really like to know, what got you into pursuing a career as a professional singer, songwriter, and healer, blending music with healing modalities?
Yeah. So, you know, as a little girl, I was very much wanting to be a singer and an actress. I used to always say when I was asked what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I just always loved really the expression. I think that's what drew me towards wanting to be that, was all about witnessing people expressing on such a deep level that they could invoke an emotion in me. So actually, I didn't really start doing music as a career or chasing the dream until I was 26. So it was a little bit of a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. I had always played on the piano. My grandmother was a piano player. She'd reel out old standards at the holidays and things like that. And I loved being around music. I would write a little bit. I learned some guitar when I was about 19. But yeah, it wasn't until a little bit later in life that I began chasing the dream of music. I actually started when I was 19 and away at college is how I was introduced to yoga for the first time. Studio that was leading in the Korean arts of their version of like Tai Chi and energy medicine. So from about 19 to 26 was my window of initial trainings in the world of alternative healing and the intangible, if you will, which is really cool. I was really grateful to have my baseline be a lineage style modality of healing rather than kind of the sensationalized woo that we see today.
Right. It was steeped cool. in tradition, right?
Yeah, totally, which is so my style, so the way I appreciate life. So that was pretty cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So eventually I finally did start to blend the two. It was sort of like deep into spirituality, deep training. Then around 26, my father had passed away and I did always have that dream to be a performer, to be a musician, you know, touring the world. And that's kind of when I like weirdly put the spirituality on the back burner. I was just young. I wasn't expecting it. He died pretty quickly from cancer in over 6 months. So I just was like, I want to go full force in what I really want to do. Life is short. It kind of had that angst,
right?
That anything could happen. And of course, also a little rebellion around the spirituality. I was a little bit like, F you, God, like, you know.
Sure.
So I kind of swiped that to the side, went full fledged. I mean, moved from San Francisco at the time to Austin, Texas. Really full in, like started playing shows every week, self-released 2 records. I mean, I was really, really pushing it. And then it was like funny, then the burnout around trying to make it brought the spirituality and the practices back.
Right,
so
back
eventually I had to fuse them because I couldn't keep up.
That is so cool. And I do know that you, as a songwriter, have had some of your music on shows that people would know.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So I have always had really good beginner's luck. and then like, it's funny. It's almost me. I really probably need to hear myself say this. Once I start to pursue and chase is when it like gets, doesn't seem to happen as naturally as when I just don't know what I'm doing and just throw it out there. So when I released my first record, I started dating a gentleman who had some friends in LA that had like a small, song placement business where they would place songs in TV shows. Mm-hmm. And just for the heck of it, I had just released the album. We sent it over to them. Luckily, the person who recorded the record with me told me to record the instrumentals. That was like a really important thing. So with my first 2009 album, all the songs ended up getting placed in these like MTV shows that would just run around the clock. It was like Teen Mom and College Life. And it was so funny. You would hear my songs without the lyrics as like background music.
That's me.
And then in my last record, so the more recent, I did land a placement with a full song with lyrics. The song's called When the Rain Comes. And that was placed on Criminal Minds, a very dramatic scene with Lou Diamond Phillips. So that was a big deal.
That's very cool. That is so cool. Mm-hmm. What an adventure. I mean, it's,
that
hero's journey that we talk about from sometimes, it's success isn't a linear path at all. And well, you did a little few curly cues
to
get around. Holy cow.
For sure.
That's so cool. So I'm curious I understand. And I'm sorry to hear about your father. Interestingly enough, on a side note, my mom passed away in about the same age from me and in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
So it was also a sudden situation. And I had made the promise that I was going to go back to school. And so that's what I did go back to school I can totally relate. And those emotions too, because I was so mad. So mad, like, what are you kidding me? So I had similar
reactions, and I could totally relate to that. But what I wanted to ask, and I'm sorry to derail us a little bit, but you had mentioned it was almost a full circle from the spirituality to then doing your shows and performing out all the time, and then you record this album, and then it gets picked up. A couple of the songs get picked up and played, and then you come back. So what was the connection then? I mean, what brought you back?
Well, it really became when I was full-fledged in the music and really like chasing the dream, wanting to get signed by a label and all that. I had always had a deep, you know, one foot deeply in the spiritual world, right? You talk about the why. I know we're going to talk about that, but I mean, I came out of the womb like seeking. So my whole journey on this planet has always been like, why the hell am I here? Right. What is this? Right. You know, so I was always seeking. So that always like was running alongside the music career. However, the search for validation that I didn't realize was such a deep wound of seeking the validation of listeners, labels, love from whomever, right?
Yeah.
That's the part that I would sort of just drop all the wisdom I had been granted over, you know, a decade at that point, and just sort of like go out and just get trashed. And because, you know, we were networking. That was part of that's networking in the music industry. I mean, you don't have to, but it's a lot easier to go have a handful of drinks and,
at a bar or something, and
hang out with the musicians. And that's literally how you would probably become friends with somebody. Then they ask, and you end up asking you to go on tour with them. I mean, that's how it happens, especially in Nashville. So it was just really, in hindsight, so painful to like know all of this deep, like I said, knowledge and wisdom, and just kind of pretend it didn't exist just so I could connect with the people I thought I had to get to where I wanted to go, which was to eventually be like an influencer, if you will, in the music world of positivity and these things. So the world got like way too blended, and they were just too dissonant.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I talk about that all the time, where you have that resonance that's a melodic sound, and then the antithesis is the dissonance that occurs when things just aren't right and it doesn't vibrate the same way. So I get what you're saying. I am curious though, when you said that you were chasing after these different things and maybe people, relationship, validation, that sort of thing. What was did you ever figure out what the driving force was on that? The why that was going on?
At that point, when I was sort of not being totally true to myself?
Yeah.
I think the why for that was, one was the deep passion for music and expression. Like I had shared, like I really... Sure. That's what I want and still want to do, is to be able to express now my understanding, you know, the divine through me, right? Of the gifts and that we were given. But at the time, yeah, there was that desire. And then it became, just because the industry by nature is so like about somehow grabbing the spotlight enough on you and being good enough to grab the attention, because it's always someone out there is going to make you, you know, it's going to break you. That's just like, so I feel like the why eventually became more of like, tell me I'm good enough, you know, tell me that I'm good enough. I really do think I'm good enough sometimes, but like,
I need
one of you to say I'm good enough.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It got distorted. And then every no became an I'm not good enough for me.
Sure. And you know what? I think that's the human piece of that. As a performer myself at one point in time with opera, and even with bands later, but, I understand what you're saying, and I'd like to know, because I'll tell you my answer. When somebody would say, oh, Joanna, you are so good. I absolutely love your voice. I love the vibe you're throwing out there. What would you say? What would your response be?
I mean, I think I learned to say thank you just out of habit of, you know, that's the appropriate response. I was very self-deprecating, and that came a lot from New York, you know, the way I was raised, we were always kind of joking about each other and ourselves and my family and things like that. So I would probably make a joke about how something didn't whatever sound right, or I messed up that part or whatever. Oh yeah, thanks. I mean, I totally blew it for song, you know, the second song, but whatever. Thank you. Kind of thing.
Right, right.
And I think that whenever, just as you shared that, as you asked that, I was recalling like some of these true fans I had, mm-hmm. you know, a handful that were like genuine Joanna Barbera fans. And there was something about like, they would compliment me from such a true, sincere place. And I would almost create a story that they didn't matter. Does that make sense?
Because that they had like a bias or something like that?
Because
that
they weren't like a label telling me that.
Or they weren't
like somebody who could like help me out and, you know, they weren't a musician.
Yeah.
So it's this weird like sabotage. First of all, as we know as entrepreneurs, you never know.
No.
Ever. So
no.
Don't fuck around with that, you know, because I've even made that story, that mistake. Now, you know, just thinking someone like doesn't matter because they don't look or seem like in my world. And then they're the ones that come swooping in and have an opportunity available for me. So in saying that, I'm almost kicking myself of how many times I kind of been like, well, they don't matter. But it wasn't out of like such a egoic asshole place on my end. It was mm-hmm. more of like a self-sabotage of like not really being able to receive that.
For sure.
That they count, you know, and that compliment counts, and touching that soul counts.
And that was kind of what I was getting at, because I was notorious for, oh, shut up. Oh, mm-hmm. stop. Or mm-hmm. something like that. Oh, it was good. Yeah. For a tone deaf buffoon. Right. Yeah. You know, one of those things.
But I would.
And to the point where it was it was one of my vocal instructors that said, you really need to stop.
It like makes other people uncomfortable.
Well, right. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. She said, that response makes you sound like an asshole. And I was just like, what? Makes me sound like an asshole. That's the furthest thing from what I want.
Right.
And she said, no, because you're telling everybody else that they don't know what they're talking about. You're not validating them in that moment. And I was just like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. She said, thank you. That's very kind of you, is a proper response.
Yeah. How nice. Thank you. Isn't that funny that your insecurity, like you would never think that your insecurity is the most selfish, egotistical thing you could be doing.
but it totally is. It's like, oh, you're a real asshole. And then you start thinking, then you're all up in your head and you're like, how many times have I said that? How many times these people really must hate me? And then it's just like, okay, stop.
You matter so much.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure they're thinking about me all the time. That's what I tell myself. Yeah, people always think about me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they don't. So that's curious, because I, having heard you perform and had the good fortune of being in one of your yoga classes, and then some of the other things that you were involved with, mantra meditation, and I definitely want to hit that. I think you have a lovely voice, and it's very melodic, a very clean voice. And so mantra meditation, can you take a moment and explain for our listeners and viewers what that really means and what it's about?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of people, when they hear mantra these days, because affirmations has become such a popular thing, you know, incantations, I'm worthy, I'm deserving. That is a mantra. Mantra is a sound, a phrase, that an utterance that you repeat over and over again, gets into the subconscious mind, right? Depending on if, you know, you have a lot of feeling behind it, like Tony Robbins teaches, right? And you proclaim something, it kind of gets into your nervous system. So that's one version of mantra that you may be familiar with. Others of you may also be familiar with the yogic tradition of mantra, which is bhakti yoga. It's devotional yoga with these sacred sounds, sacred chants that are thousands and thousands and thousands of years old that the yogis would channel in the caves, that eventually with the rise of Hinduism and religions and things like that, which honestly were secondary from when these yogic chants were first channeled, but they kind of became like a devotional prayer to certain deities in the Hindu religion. And then also then in Buddhism, we kind of took that on as well. There's certain chants and things like that, but they're really archetypal. So like there's like a chant like Om Shanti is a mantra for peace. You say it over and over again. You could chant it Om Shanti, Om Shanti, however you want. Mm-hmm. Or as you know, you could sing it behind melodic music. And whether you, you know, believe in the religious aspects or the symbolism, it is measurably scientifically proven to show the brain beginning to change, beginning to go into that tranquil state. And on an energetic level, if you are willing to go into the untangible, you can start to feel a lightening, a heart opening, a sense of calm, peace, elevation that happens, as I think you experience.
Yes.
When we were at the retreat.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then some of the more devotional ones like Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha. It's a little bit of a longer one.
I remember that as well. Yes.
Yeah. That one is to, you know, Ganesh, the elephant you may have seen in the yogic, you know, visuals.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's the remover of obstacles. But again, you know, I don't chant that like to Ganesh, you know, I'm like just these sounds help to bring and move obstacles out of the way. That's what I'm putting out there as I chant them. And just chanting them, a mantra like that, Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha, you can't be really thinking about a whole lot.
Other than the words.
Yeah. So it just sort of like really gives you a narrow point of view to like walk towards with the chant. And then repeating it can put you again into that very like self-hypnotic, tranquil, peaceful state.
So do you have a personal approach to mantra meditation or mindfulness practice when you tap into that creative flow?
So you mean before I like, teaching or when I'm like trying to prepare for like being creative myself?
Well, I'm thinking about it from, so every day is an opportunity, and I don't know what your practice is as far as music or writing or something like that, but I'm guessing you have some sort of ritual that you go through before you begin that process. And I guess that's what I was kind of curious about. How do you get yourself prepared? Not for a class, for you personally.
For me. Okay.
Yeah.
For a class or performance or anything like that, like preparing myself.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's similar to what I teach. My method has always been and move the body. I got to move the body to get the energy flowing because I'm a big thinker and I'm a fast thinker. So movement really helps with getting myself anchored into the body. And then I'll typically go into a mantra meditation. Sometimes we forget to do the things that work best for us.
Right.
That is what works best for me though. When I can do 1 to 3 mantras at about 8 to 11 minutes each, I mean, by the third one, I'm golden. I am in my body. I am, you know, cleansing out the mind. It's almost like giving the mind a shower with these sacred sounds. Mm-hmm. And by the time I'm done, I feel very open and centered and ready to hold space for others, lead an event. So that's like the go-to.
Would you mind sharing what those might be?
Sure. So the mantras?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have a playlist, And what I like to do sometimes is just put it on shuffle.
Okay.
And whatever ones pop up are must be
the ones you need, ones, right?
Yeah. So they'll be, so like I said, Om Shanti, that's a very, very simple one. There's a recording of Deva Premal. She's a very well-known mantra musician, has made many albums, but she also has some versions where you chant. And her chanting is very like rhythmic. Om Shanti Om, Om Shanti Om, Om Shanti Om, Om Shanti Om. And that's that rhythm that kind of puts you into that state where you're really not thinking a whole lot about much else. Another one I really like, we did at in Costa Rica, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So if you even sing it or say it, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's very
right. It gets you moving.
Feel it chanting on your heart. It's like a it's like a drum on your heart, you know.
Right,
so that's
right.
Another one. And then I'll give you an example of a Tibetan Buddhist one because it's a different. It's still Sanskrit, so that's still the lineage language, if you will, because it's not really. It is a language, but the phrases don't translate as exact sentences like they do in English. So Tibetan Buddhist chants one is. Om Benza Sato Hung. Om Benza Sato Hung. So that's a little bit of a different vibe that I really love that one. And that's a mantra for purification. So I will choose that sometimes. Like if I've just been in a busy mall or like some kind of experience where the energy's really dense and coming at me, I'm in a lot of people, I'm picking up on a lot because I'm pretty empathic. I'll chant that one specifically to purify.
Very
purify
good.
My field.
That's good. So that's was going to be my question. Is the follow up is the why to that, and that's a good explanation as to why, as far as I'm concerned. It's I think it's also important. And you use that the visual of the showering to kind of clean off and clear. I'm in a group in the, well, it's not in the Chicagoland area. It's actually international, but it's the Spiritual Social Club. That's hosted by Jennifer Weigel. It, she uses that reference as an important thing. So that's very, very good. Thank you for sharing that. So in your 25 year career journey of these modalities and, your trainings and as well as your classes and everything, have you ever run into or encountered skepticism about this? And how do you address somebody when they come back at you like that, or address, do you know what I mean? When I'm
I got it. You know, to be honest, it's been a while, because I would, in the music world, I didn't talk about it to the extent that I could have. I kind of, that's what, that was part of the misery, was like, you know,
had to hide
out
it.
A part of, yeah, like sort of like not being the full expression of myself in that key. And then, you know, I surround myself with people that are into the same thing. And it's been a while. Like it's been probably since my early 20s that I actually was trying to like convince people the wrong,
try this.
Wrong people that didn't weren't into it of something. So I don't really have, I guess if I was to be, I mean, I don't know, hit me, pretend you're skeptical of something that I've been sharing, how I would respond.
That just sounds ridiculous. There's absolutely, you gotta be kidding me. By somebody going Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, that's going to do something. I cannot believe that.
All I can do is tell you to try it. And if it works for you, awesome. And if it doesn't, then move on.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, how could I tell you what's going to work for you? I can only tell you what has literally changed my life and affects, but you may be totally wired differently, but at the end of the day, you'll never know until you try it. So.
Well, yes. And that's something right there. I think the, being open to different things, and which is what we're talking about. And I had mentioned to you before the different pillars of the broadcast or the podcast, I should say, that the different modalities and mindset training and the different tools that are available, that's one of the pillars of the show, and which is why I really wanted you on, because I firmly believe in that. And people can be skeptical all they want, but here's the thing that I can say. You can try some of these things in the privacy of your own home with nobody else around. So you don't have to be self-conscious. Let's just start with that, because I think sometimes people, you know, anger comes out when there's fear of the unknown or just fear of something different.
Totally.
And this is an opportunity for somebody to try something different and talk about these different things. And to your point, you don't know unless you try. And I would, again, saying that about yoga, saying that about meditation, saying that about so many different things I can think of that have quite literally changed my life.
Totally.
You know, I get it.
I do try to, even when I'm doing one-on-one work with people and they're going to go really deep and try something, or with the mantras, I'm like, just mute yourself.
Right.
I don't care. Shut off your camera. You know, nobody's around, but give yourself the chance and the opportunity to feel, do something that you've never done before that could possibly change your life. That is what's kind of cool about the online world as well. I mean, I'm a big advocate of getting in person and being in community. But for people who've never done this before, it maybe doing some kind of online training is best for you, because you do have that freedom to do that. And don't be afraid to tell the facilitator or the teacher, like, hey, I want to shut off my camera. I want to, you know, mute my microphone and be able to really express fully without anybody watching. And that's cool, because you do
including
have to
yourself.
Get used to it. Including yourself, right?
Right.
You do have to get used to what it feels like to be that expressive if you don't know what that's like. It's uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And I love that. So thank you. Again, thank you. I'm curious to know, do you still get stage fright? Or
do
nervous?
I still get stage fright.
Yeah, before you go out and perform?
Yeah, it honestly depends on the mood that I'm in.
Okay.
Because sometimes, like Jen, our mutual friend and teacher, Jennifer Grace, when I played her house concert, it was very intimate. There's a lot of people I didn't know. I didn't know how they were going to respond to it. I didn't know if they'd think of it. So I still get that voice more of like, but because of my practice, I can just convince myself, I can command the mind to do something different. I command the mind to be like, all right, listen, who cares? Right. You don't know. You never know how people are going to respond. Close your damn eyes, drop in the heart, and do your best.
Perfect.
Now, if and when a few years ago I was single and there's a guy I have a crush on and he's at the show.
Right. Different
he's
story.
Never seen me perform. Yeah, probably going to get a little bit of the jitters.
A little flop sweat there. Yeah. Exactly. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Can you recall a time in your journey that you were that close to hanging it up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2018, does it count that I did hang it up for about 4 years?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. In 2018, I got asked to go on tour with a band here in Nashville. They're actually from Providence, Rhode Island, Deer Tick. They're very big cult following. The lead singer had seen me play like a dive bar and really loved what I did. And I got asked to go on tour with them and open up for them for a month and a half in Europe. And that to me was like, I was now finally on the brink. Yeah, right. I was on the brink. I'm going to be signed, all the things. That was the breaking point when I went on tour with them and I saw the way, like the hours, the way you had to live, load in, load out, leave at 1 in the morning, get to a hotel at 3 in the morning, get up at 8 a.m. to get to the next place. I was so bummed because like I couldn't enjoy all the places that we were visiting. It was like my first time in Ireland, my first time in Germany. And I was just like, I remember I had to keep up. So I wasn't even thinking about any of this, but when it was over, I literally hit that was like the epitome of what burnout was. I literally like just crashed so hard.
Yeah.
I felt so depleted, so sad. I didn't understand why I wasn't grateful. I had just had such a beautiful experience. I got to open for, you know, 500 to 1,000 people every night. I was so heartbroken, didn't understand why. And I just sort of was like, I need a break. And I couldn't believe I was saying that. But I also knew that if I had wanted to keep nurturing and that relationship and get what I thought I wanted out of it, like maybe sign with their label or go on another tour, mm-hmm. you know, I would have to like hang out more and go to the clubs more. I remember even getting a text message from one of the bandmates, like, hey, we're going to be at Mickey's tonight. Do you want to join? And I was like, I remember being like, no. And I know I should.
I'm good.
And I know that I'm sabotaging my career by saying no, but I'm fucking done. I was so done. I was so, it was, that showed me the real split of like, I cannot live as like a healthy spiritual being and try to keep up with this, which is like, then 4 years later, like in the last couple of years, when the mantra came back into my life and reawakened the music in me, that's what did it. I started chanting the mantras and then I started picking up my guitar and playing the mantras to music. And I was like, okay, oh, here's a whole other layer of what music could feel like and be like. Yeah. When that happened, I was like, oh, like I could at some point create my own shows and my own tours. Mm-hmm. And if it were up to me and I had a European tour and I didn't have to be at the mercy of a booking agent, I would book 3 days in each freaking city.
Right.
Right. Right. Like, why would I like,
yeah.
you know? So it's very funny because I always wanted to be signed by a label, but I never have had a real 9-to-5 job because I never could handle having a boss, which is why I've always done jobs like waiting tables. So it's really funny because I'm like having a label and a booking agent is like having a freaking boss.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And then
they didn't have a choice to say. I mean, they could complain and stuff, but like, no. Anyway.
Cool. I'd like to ask this question. And I don't know if you need a little time to answer it, that's fine. But what advice would you give your younger self as let's say that you were getting ready to start your career over again? What kind of advice would you give your younger self?
As a musician?
Well, you tell me. You tell me.
Okay. So I'm going to rewind back to little Joanna, who just graduated from college and she's 23 and she's hopping in her car to drive up to San Francisco. If I could give my younger self advice, I would tell her to, okay, hold on. This is going to be tough because I don't want to just like stay true to yourself.
Right.
Okay. If I could give my younger self advice, I would tell her to find home within and keep returning there over and over again, checking in and making sure that what you're doing and who you're with are the people that you want to be in your energetic home and that you're really honoring anything that you would allow inside of your self-created home. And that if anything feels wrong or dissonant, or even if it doesn't make sense to your career or to your friend circle, you keep touching base and making sure that everything that is in your temple is what you would consciously allow in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that was an amazing answer. I mean, that was an amazing answer. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
So what do you have in store? What's the next big thing for you?
So the next, there's a couple of pots on the stove at this point. So as I'm learning to bring music into my spiritual mindfulness space that I've created in my community, I've really been enjoying, I've had a couple of people reach out to me for this and I'm really enjoying it, which is, I call it soul song mentoring. Where it's not like my traditional mentoring, as you're familiar with like the coaching and mentoring, it's 3 to 6 months. We have specific, you know, things that you want to work on to enhance your lifestyle and your self-confidence and get in touch with your true passion. So I do that as well. So I do that style of spiritual deep diving mentorship, offering the tools and modalities that I have used for so many years. But this one is all of that. It's using the tools and modalities and crafting, opening up the channels enough for you to craft a song of your soul that wants to express itself. Mm. And I get to be the conduit, right? I'll find the chords. Together we'll find the melody. But these lyrics, these channel lyrics are coming through you. And that's so we do cool. About 4 sessions, and then there's a customized song at the end of it. And if you want it professionally recorded, I have a recording studio. Luckily my boyfriend is a recording engineer, so we can make really nice sounding recording. Yeah. And then you have it forever. And there's nothing more powerful. Like if you write a song that is affirming what you want to create in your life and what you want to believe about yourself, what's more affirming and self-hypnotic of manifesting that and making it your reality than hearing one that you wrote that you actually can like jam to or like
sing the lyrics to. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's been my newest, most exciting offering that's come through in the last, I'd say since the summer, really.
That is so cool. Wow. I mean, that is really cool. I like that a lot. As you know, that part of the podcast, in now the listeners and viewers are starting to pick up on it. I am, and obviously we have a connection, a musical connection, as well as some of the other things, spirituality and things. And our friend Jen is a conduit to many. But music. And so I have a few questions I'd like to ask you as far as music is concerned, and we'll go through those and get your answer. Because what we do is we put together a playlist. That's part of the giveaway to our listeners, is we'll give them a toolkit and then we'll give them the playlist from this episode. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, because I am a firm believer that everybody has a soundtrack to their life. And you can go in chronological order and you could say, oh, that song, and it'll bring you right back to 5th grade, Miss Hotuyak's class, and everybody singing the song, you know, whatever it is, you know. So here's the first question for you. What was the first song you heard on the radio that you can remember saying, oh man, I want to hear that one again? And it was like your first favorite song.
Probably Joanna by Kool and the Gang.
Oh, you're so funny. I was singing that as I was going up the stairs earlier today because you being the guest, I was like, oh, I love that song.
No, but that's because my parents, I remember being like 4 or 5 and my parents telling me that song was about me. And I literally thought every time I came on the radio, it was about me because I was young enough to believe that.
That's cool. I love that. I love that.
But honestly, the ones that like would get when I was really young, I mean, this is so typical of gals my age, but I would just freaking belt Annie.
Oh,
I mean, I was just like, that's probably,
the
I have pictures.
Sun will come out tomorrow. So
I had the wig. I would perform it for my family at holidays. I was little. I was like 4 or 5, but that was probably the first experience of like singing expression. No ego at all, you know, like really doing it because
fearless.
I thought it was awesome.
Oh my gosh. How cool is that? So,
you probably don't want to put that on a playlist. So you want a little bit of an older one?
No. Joanna was that was cool. I'll take Joanna. Okay. And you know what? I might sneak that in there too because it's your playlist. You know,
so, I loved getting more into like the 80s. Like when I was a little little bit like even like 8 or 9. I remember like Madonna's "Crazy for You." Love that song. Yeah. I was always very dramatic. I loved her song "Live to Tell." I used to listen. It was so funny. Like if I listened to Paula Abdul, I remember I loved Mariah Carey, but I always loved the sad song. So like Paula Abdul had a song called "Rush." Remember it had Keanu Reeves in the video.
Yes, I do.
That was one of my favorites. I remember making little cassette, recording it was on the radio. You could record it on cassette tape.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
So those are some of my, like, I'd say hot takes. Mariah Carey had a song on her first record called "Vanishing" that I still freaking love. It's like such a soul, like gripping, amazing.
We are muy simpático because I'm a ballad guy.
Yeah.
I am just a ballad guy. And growing up, did you have a family song that you like everybody, if you're in the family truckster going someplace, that you just belted out when you heard it on the radio or threw in a cassette tape with that song in it?
I remember my sisters and I making fun of my dad's music because he would put on Carly Simon. Oh, and there was that one song, not You're So, no, that's Carole King. So Carly Simon, there's this song that's like Coming Around Again. Do you remember that song? Baby seasons, mommy teases, daddy's waiting.
Yes, yes, by. Yes.
So you touch the da-da. Anyway, I know nothing stays the same, but if you're willing to play the game,
yes.
We'll be coming around again.
Yes, I do remember that. That's
and we just thought it was hook. So dorky, and we would just be singing it all along. So it was more of us making fun of my dad.
That's
than
awesome.
Anything. I do remember also, I Just Called to Say I Love You. That was one.
Oh my gosh.
We used to sing the shit out of that in the car together. Yeah. Yeah. I just called
to say I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I do that in my car with my eyes closed.
Yeah. And I did that too when I was little. Until oh my I did gosh. That. It was like so, yeah.
Yeah.
So
and then you realize
how you had to do it.
He's blind. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. But when you're little, you're just like, I just want to groove like Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, because it's cool. That's it.
That's great.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, if you don't want to answer this, totally cool. Do you remember a song from the first kiss you ever had? There's usually makeout parties growing up. So it was just like, hey, what was that song?
Oh, God. I was a Roman Catholic Italian. So, like, the sex guilt was heavy. So I think even trying to remember what my first kiss was. I was like,
Only the
I,
Good like, Die from... Young, Billy Joel?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. who's my first kiss? That's so weird. Who was my first kiss? I mean, clearly, if I don't remember that, I don't remember a song.
Well, we can skip that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now you got my wheels turning. I'm like, oh, that's sad that I don't remember that.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. No big deal. I'm just, right. You know, that obviously says something about you. too many kisses to know, but. So in high school, did you have a song that was like your friends and you guys would just like when you're together, yes. this was your anthem type of yes. song?
Silent All These Years by Tori Amos.
Oh my gosh.
I had some dramatic, we were some dramatic girls and
were you
we
doing
just,
a lot of the clutching and everything.
Loved that song. I feel like we would literally just be like crying together. We all had our guy that we'd be like crying about listening to Tori Amos, and Silent All These Years was like,
oh,
yeah, the gosh. Anthem. Yeah.
Of wallowing.
Yes. Oh yeah. Very dramatic. Very, oh, very dramatic. My gosh. Ladies, we were.
I love that. I love that. So in college, your freshman year in college, mm-hmm. do you remember a song or a band that was like, oh yeah, that brings me back to freshman year?
Oh yeah. So I was in freshman year of college. When I was obsessed with the band, I was obsessed. So I went to everything. So I would say you had Tori Amos still.
Okay.
Ani DiFranco. And then Fish.
Ooh.
I went to a lot of Fish shows. I loved Fish in high school, and that ran through college as well. And also who's the other one? Tori Amos. I think more that was probably more that's more high school. I was gonna say Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews was more high school. I didn't take him through college with me, but yeah, I'd say Fish was a big one.
Yeah.
God, I love it. We actually, Anthony and I, my boyfriend, I have been playing Phish like around the house lately. And I'm like, this is like amazing. Right. I was curious if it was just like a kid thing that I was into like a jam band. I'm like, no, this is like, these musicians are freaking phenomenal. Yeah. So I just like 20 years later, I've just been like pumping them through the speakers. Like, that's, this is fucking awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's very cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. So motivational song. Do you have a motivational song that, like, on Monday morning, if you've got something, you're going, God, I don't want to do this today or this week? What's your motivational song?
Oh, that's a good idea, because there's a lot of times where I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I usually put on Mantra, and I'll put on Mantra, and I'll have that playing just to kind of snap me out of the negativity loop.
Yeah.
But have it a song that's like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, there's two that come to mind for me, and I'll share those.
Share. Maybe I'll use them.
And this is going to be like sappy. I love Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. I absolutely love that song.
Yeah.
I just remember Jack Black and High Infidelity.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
Then he starts spinning around and everything. He's just, I love that. The other one that I used like in business when I was, you know, for sales or different things like that was Standing Outside the Fire by Garth Brooks. Do you know that song?
Yeah. One of my exes is a big Garth Brooks fan.
Yeah. Life is not tried. It is merely survived if you're standing outside the fire.
And I love that.
That is the whole thing of, you know, if I, and I haven't asked myself this question, but if I were to go back and tell my younger self something, is don't be so afraid of putting yourself out there. Some of the most exciting things happen when you're willing to take that chance. And that's something that I can tell you that I wish I could go back and do, as opposed to, you know, everybody's where they're supposed to be at the end of the day. I get it, but I just look at that and go, gosh, how many opportunities did I go?
Yeah.
I just waste by that. Yeah. But anyway.
No, I hear you. I mean, that's how I feel about like what I said about just kind of, I think I lost a lot of opportunities by just being narrow-minded and thinking it had to look a certain way. So people who didn't fit that mold, I just kind of ignored. I think I probably missed out on a lot of opportunities because of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there have been, I guess, years I spent thinking about that. And boy, I should have. Boy, I should have. Boy, I should have.
Yeah, and then, you'll kill yourself doing
exactly.
That, I hear you.
You should all over yourself. And
still don't know what's to come. That
correct.
Like, so that's why that's actually interesting to think about, because now whatever comes and whatever you do manifest from this moment onward, you can truly say wouldn't have happened if you didn't take this path.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
So heading, move north, go north.
Yes, exactly. Keep going. If there was a song that you could think of that would describe you, that would be, okay, this is the song that's me.
Me now?
Yeah.
I could think of me then.
Okay. Well, either way, I'll let you choose.
Well, the first song that popped in my mind was me then.
Okay.
Almost like the same song that I would have advice giving to my younger self, but it was a Tori Amos song.
Okay.
There was this line where she would say, "When are you going to make up your mind? When are you going to love you as much as I do?"
Ooh.
And I just always heard that that was a good one. Just
that is freaking awesome.
Because everyone, you know, everyone seemed to, my friends all really loved me, but I couldn't seem to
love
see
you.
Myself that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me now, I mean, I feel,
wow,
feel like a bit of a warrior. I feel like I I fall down a lot, but I do always get up, and I do really, you know, walk the true path, what I believe is the true path, as much as I possibly can. I'm always wanting to be better and truer and purer and more honest and authentic. So I'm trying to think of what song could represent that.
I had three fly through my mind when you were saying warrior.
I am the warrior.
Well, I was thinking that Patti Smyth, the warrior song.
Yeah.
I love that. And then Walk the Line was the third one when you said, I think I was walking that. But there was one in between that was like, oh, I wonder if she's going to go that way.
Which one? I'll make it my theme song.
I can remember lyrics from something that was produced and released in 1968. Yeah, and I can't remember milk, you know, when I go to the store for milk.
The same way.
Yeah, it is crazy. So who's your favorite artist and what's the song?
My favorite artist. It's so funny. I just feel so out of that world, you know, like when I think of like my favorite artist, I think of me different phases in my life. And who was my favorite artist at that time. And I feel like now all I freaking listen to is like mantra music, like good musicians. You know, but I would say like who raised me musically was Tori Amos. She raised me musically for sure from 16 on. I just saw her at the Ryman like 3 months ago.
Oh my goodness. Really?
Yeah. She's like in her 60s and you know, her voice is different, but she's just killing it on the piano. You know, she's not putting anything out that I'm super into now, but yeah, I would say she raised me musically. And so she'll always have that place in my heart.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. What a great venue too, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Ryman. Oh my gosh. Sure. It is so cool. So before we wrap everything up today, I wanted to see, is there anything that you wanted to promote?
Yeah, I would say that if anybody is looking for a variety of really powerful, deep dive, deep internal contemplation and healing methods, techniques, modalities, and would like someone to lead them through that with a very humble heart and a lot of experience, a safe container for you to really go deep within yourself and, you know, learn how to access your own inner guidance system and learn how to love yourself more deeply, that I feel very confident that I could hold space for the right person, of course, always making sure it's a good match.
Right.
That's more of my transformational mentoring. And for somebody who wants to heal through the power of song and hearing your own song that is somewhere inside of you, sung and created by somebody who can do that, you know, I would be happy to work with you in that way as well. And if you do sing, by all means, you get to sing it as well. But we do like move, like I said, moving the body, open up the channels. We do a lot of guided journeying so that you can really get in touch still with the inner guidance system. It's all the same as my other mentoring, but we're channeling your soul song.
Add another dimension to it. That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Thank you. And people can see all of your offerings at joannabarbera.com.
Yeah. Instagram is at, you know, the handle's at Music City Mindfulness. That's a little bit maybe easier to remember. My name is Joanna Barbera, but Music City Mindfulness is my business and the handle on my Instagram. And that is where I'm most active. And otherwise, if you go to my website, there's an option, you know, to message me. If you have any questions, you just want to connect, totally down.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed the episode of Drop the Needle. And a big thanks to our very special guest, Joanna Barbera, for joining us today. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you for having me.
And I invite you all to explore the benefits of Joanna's innovative healing practice for yourself and elevate your personal wellness journey with Joanna. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Plus, head over to our show notes to grab your free toolkit from today's episode and access to the episode's playlist. And of course, I'm going to put Joanna's contact information for her one-on-one mentorship programs, as well as her other offerings, in the show notes as well. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of the show, this is the end of our show today. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health, happiness, and the perfect playlist for your life. Thanks again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.